There were many things before this, but you realised at the point that your dog dissected a squirrel and a teacher vomited on a kid's backpack that you needed to train your dog, yes.
Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs, understanding their brains, and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you, and having a few laughs along the way. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. And I'm joined by little Gorsing here who has had a bit of an interesting week, haven't you? Because we've almost gone a little bit too far with the activating her seeking system, because numerous times now, Madeline and I have walked into the house and she's been on the kitchen table, asking herself, where's the opportunity, right? And so it seems that that side of things is going really well. And I thought it would be cool to just introduce her for those of you that can see. And if you're listening, well, you can probably just hear her like crunching the odd treat that I hand her. But things have been going pretty well. She's definitely more confident. She's definitely more optimistic. Interestingly, we've got some like stuff dogs in my office that sometimes I use for teaching, and whereas before, if she had seen those, she would have definitely kind of reacted and been quite worried about them. I forgot to hide them away after teaching the other day, and she ran in here and picked one up and started to basically wrestle it and play with it, which is totally different. And you know, it just shows that giving a break and then focusing on just actually activating, you know, more of a optimistic seeking system, how that can, you know, impact the actual situation we're working on, but without the need to put them in that situation and not get the not get the outcome that we want. And I think often we see this with owners that we work with in the behavior clinic, and you know, we hear from you guys on social media as well, that a lot of training that you've tried in the past, a lot of behavior work that you've tried in the past has involved, you know, putting your dog in that situation and it didn't go well, and your dog repeatedly said, I can't deal with this. And the other thing that I think is really common is that you actually start to dread doing it, because you know, now she's exploring. You really start to kind of dread doing it, because you start to
hi.
Before she gets so confident that she tries to leap off the desk, I'm going to pop her on the floor. You start to kind of dread doing it. You start to think almost like, oh my goodness, I don't want to work with my dog because, well, that happens, right? And so you probably hear her like tapping around now throughout this episode, which is fine. So what is an approach that works? Yeah, because I think often you'll hear these talks about training with force, training, you know, you don't want to train with force. And you think that means using some form of like aversion or punishment or telling your dog off or intimidating your dog or, you know, whatever it might be. But the reality is, the way that I like to think about training with force or not is, am I trying to force my dog to behave appropriately in a situation they're just not prepared for? Yeah, is there more work that I can do at home? Is there more work that I can do to teach them the skills that they need to be able to deal with that situation? And then it's quite eye-opening, because
then you realize that actually sometimes you can be working with food, but you're still training with force. And that kind of makes a nice difference between maybe what you've tried in the past and it's not worked, and what you're trying now, what you're embarking on now, maybe some things that you've learned here at Help My Dog. So what would be a good example of that? Let me think. A typical example would be when a dog is worried about, let's say, children, and the kind of default thing that you'll read online, or you might have been told, or let's be honest, like sometimes we just sometimes think things are the right thing to do and then we realize that they're not, is you're like, okay, I'll hand the child a treat and then the child can feed the dog. And what that does is the dog's now conflicted. The dog's now like, I want the food, and there's this expectation on me that I've got to go take the food, but actually I'm quite worried about the novelty machine that's on the other end of it, right? So for those of you that don't know, I jokingly call kids novelty machines, because it sums up why they're so difficult for many dogs to deal with, because they're constantly doing weird things. They're saying weird things, they're making weird sounds, they're moving in a weird way. They are maybe not even, standing on two legs. They're rolling on the floor and screaming or crying or, you know, hiding and jumping out at us or the dog or whatever else. You know, these are all very common child things that are normal to them, but they're certainly not normal to dogs, and they're quite a challenge to dogs, right? So imagine this picture. You've got novelty machine with something tasty in their hand, and dog's like, I like tasty thing, but I don't like novelty machine. But then a layer that we often forget is that dogs kind of get expectation. They get that actually there is, when you're handed a piece of food, you're meant to take it and eat it. And so now there's also pressure that they know what they're meant to be doing, and they feel conflicted. And that's why often dogs will put themselves in a situation, they'll actively approach a situation, and then they'll react badly. So they might approach the dog over there, and then they, you know, snap at the dog. Or they might sit on the person's lap, and then bite the person. Or, you know, I should probably actually tell the story of how I guess I found myself here, in that I've always been interested in dog training and dog behavior for, I don't know, about 20 years. And then, the usual thing happens. I wanted to be a dog trainer. I told my mum and dad I wanted to be a dog trainer. They were like, okay, that's interesting. Yep. And you keep thinking about that. And then it got to the age where I was like, okay, I really do have to, you know, decide what I'm going to do. And I was like, I want to be a dog trainer. And they were like, well, you're good at science, so go to vet school. And so I went to vet school and I was like, I still want to be a dog trainer. And then it was almost like, I'm not really a big believer in like the universe, as in I know I'm a big believer in the universe, but not that it sends messages, but seems sometimes it does. So in my first year of vet school, I was on a sheep farm, and I had the awful experience that we've all experienced of my sock had gone into my boot. Yeah. So my sock had gone down my leg, down my foot, and it was just like bunched up in the bottom of my boot. And it's the worst feeling, right? Especially because it was like cold. It was lambing season. So it'd be like Easter time, freezing cold. And so I had to bend down. I took my boot off and I was sorting this sock out on my foot. Now, think about it, right? What we've just talked about with kids, how they do novel things, they're novelty machines. In that moment, I was being quite strange. I was huffing and puffing, getting my, you know, boot on the floor, getting my sock on. And what happened is that a nearby, a farm dog from nearby had escaped from their they were on a chain, okay? And that's where they spent most of their time, unfortunately, and had escaped from their chain and run up to me, obviously because they were conflicted. They were like, oh, what's that? Some novelty, I will approach it. And then they were like, actually, this is too novel. And they punched me in the face, okay? Or what I thought was punched me in the face. And so I stood up and I was walking and blood started to like drip onto my hands. And I was like, oh gosh, it must have like bust my lip. Well, you know, it was a very affectionate kiss, right? Very intense kiss going on. And so I walked to the mirror and I was, turn off now if you don't like gruesome things, but I was missing my lip. So my lip had actually gone and I'd been bitten three times without realizing that I'd been bitten three times. And I was in the middle of Wales, okay? In the middle of like really, really rural Wales. Like there was, the only option would have been, if I wanted to go to hospital, the only option would have been to get a helicopter, like air ambulance. And I was like, no, it's fine. I'm missing a lip, but I'll just go to the local doctor. And the local doctor kind of did like steri strips to like piece it together. Anyway, it was gross. But I guess from that moment, I guess I could have gone either way and thought, I don't want anything to do with dogs anymore. But actually, weirdly, for some reason, the next day, I made a commitment that I was going to pursue being a dog trainer. And I did a behaviour degree at the same time as my vet degree and became a behaviourist. And I guess it's those moments where they do kind of send you either way. It's like, do you go down the road of passion or do you go down the road of fear? Because ultimately they're the two roads that you're going to get driven down one way or another. It's a little bit like Gorse's story, you know. This incredibly, you know, traumatic thing happened. I mean, her injuries were extensive. I won't go into detail because they're like, it, you know, it is upsetting. I totally get it. So I'm not going to share specifically what happened, but she had to have multiple surgeries and now she's physically absolutely fine and doing amazingly, but it was a real road of recovery. And again, it's like, you know, what do we take from that? Well, we take from that, oh my goodness, we can teach people so much by doing her behavioural rehabilitation and sharing it with you all. And every day we're presented with obstacles and challenges and you get to choose passion or fear. You know, many of you are here, you're listening to this podcast each and every week and you're doing it because, not because you've always loved dogs and always loved dog behaviour and dog training, but actually because a dog came into your life and they said, nope, they said, actually, human, you think you know everything and you don't, and I'm going to show you. And they've sent you on this journey of crying, of laughing, of having multiple traumas and then loving them. And, you know, it's up and down and up and down and up and down. And you've chosen passion rather than fear, right? And we've all found ourselves here in this family, the Help My Dog family, connecting people all over the world. That's exactly why I started this podcast. So, that was a tangent that I did not know I was about to go on. Yeah, that was not part of the plan. So you've got your dog, you know, you're learning how to work with them, you're learning, that was it, in the situation versus for the situation. As a human, how do humans learn? We tend to learn in the situation quite a lot, in that we're quite literal. And so we think if we've got a problem to solve, you go to that problem and you solve it, right? That's just kind of how the human brain works. It's like you've got this issue over here, you go to that issue and you solve it. And you know, that's just the way the human brain works. You've probably had it with friends or family before, where a friend or family member or partner, they're basically moaning at you, yeah? And they're like, oh, you know, and this happened and this happened and the situation is really terrible and the situation, you know, they said this and blah, blah, blah. And you go into fixing the problem, don't you? And you say, oh, well, you know, here's what we could do. Here's some advice. And you like wade in to fix the problem and like, right, we're going to do this, we're going to go there, we're going to speak to this person. And the person gets angry with you. Have you ever had that where they're like, you're not listening? You're not. And it's because you've just gone and been a human. Right? You've just gone and tried to fix a problem when actually somebody just wants to discuss it, right? Wants to talk about it. And as a human, we then apply this to our dogs a little bit and we're like, you know, Freddie doesn't like, it reacts to other dogs. Right, we're going to meet 20 dogs in the next week and he's going to learn to like them. Yeah, we've all done it, right? And you've probably had a trainer do it as well. I remember a consult not that long ago actually, and the lady thought that there was no hope, thought that that was you know, that's all, that she tried everything. And I, you know, I always like to understand what has been tried. And I said, you know, what have you tried? And she said, well, we went to the trainer I went to the first trainer, and the first trainer said to me, my dog's reactive to other dogs. The first trainer said to me, what you need to do is you need to go out and socialize your dog. So you need to go out and you need to meet loads of dogs. You need to, you know, you need to meet 10 different dogs a week. They need to be different shapes, different sizes, different colors, you name it. You need to go and you need to meet them. And what happened is actually the dog just consistently reacted to the other dogs. They consistently snapped. The reaction just got worse and worse and worse. And so I went and spoke to a second trainer, and the second trainer said, right, the thing is, your dog needs to learn that that's a positive experience. And absolutely, this sounds really sensible. We're on the right track now. And so you need to go out and you need to meet lots of other dogs and you need to feed them some food. Okay, a treat, tasty treat. And so the owner did it, and the owner's like, but he doesn't want to take the food. And specifically, the trainer said, you need to feed them when they don't react. And so the owner diligently did it. And it's like, well, they're just reacting all the time, right? I don't see a time when they don't react. And so the owner was like, well, that method didn't work. And so last resort, went to a third trainer. And the third trainer said, yeah, you've tried all the food stuff. You've tried all the positive stuff. You've tried the reward stuff. You need to get out there and expose them to other dogs. And when they react, you need to tell them off. In fact, you need to do a check of their lead, right? And so the owner did it. And consistently, they reacted because they react to every dog. And consistently, the owner was telling her dog off, checking that lead. And guess what happened? It got worse, right? Of course it got worse, because that dog's brain's going, there's the threat, there's the threat, there's the thing to worry about. And the owner's going, yeah, it's something to worry about, right? And we've all done it because, well, we just put ourselves in the hands of professionals, and, you know, when we know better, we do better, and that's fine. And so the owner, very last resort, found herself in a behavior consult. And in the behavior consult, we went through what was happening, but specifically the big light bulb moment for that owner was, in the situation, training isn't going to work right now, because your dog doesn't have the skills to even bring to that situation to take food, yeah? To even consider that this might not be the end of the world, to even be able to learn something. And when we put a plan in place to achieve that component, guess what? We started to see that they weren't reacting to every dog. Guess what? They were actually in a position where the owner could input and could support and could say, hey, that's nothing to worry about. Hey, that's all cool. And then they started to see real results. And so always be asking yourself, you know, am I trying to force a square peg into a round hole here? Am I training in the situation rather than for the situation? What skills could my dog have to bring to this situation? And in turn, you start to see a very different outcome. Now, before we dive into the next, I guess, piece of the puzzle, we've got a bit of the podcast that it seems is very popular, and you all get kind of giddy, excited about it. And I'll be honest, I do too. And also, I find it really funny that since we've started this podcast, my weeks are basically spent. I don't see Madeline, my wife, very often because she's hiding away, laughing and giggling at the stories that are getting sent in. And when I ask her what she's laughing at, she won't tell me because I have to read them to all of you. So I just basically am living a life of solitude, hearing my wife have a great time laughing and joking at your messages. So basically keep sending them in to cringe@helpmy.dog because they brighten Madeline's day. I just feel incredibly lonely, but then I get excited to speak to all of you because you're my only connection with the outside world at this point. So that's cringe@helpmy.dog if you've got an embarrassing story. We did this, we wanted to include this in the podcast, this it could be worse component, because it feels very lonely. I joke, I'm not really lonely because I've got all of you and she does speak to me sometimes. It feels really lonely to have a dog with struggles. It's very difficult to connect with other owners with dogs with struggles because, let's face it, it would be chaos if your dogs were in the same room, right? And so we all get to connect and be a family this way. And the third thing is that we need to start celebrating that dogs are dogs, and that's why we have them in our lives. And yeah, they do crazy things, and yeah, they do really embarrassing things. It seems many of the embarrassing things involve underwear, is what I've learned since starting this podcast, that underwear is a big embarrassing component of dog ownership. Oh my word, that's just reminding me, I've got a really, really funny bad underwear story. I'm just going to tell it. I'm not going to get the okay on it. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So I was still am a vet, and I used to do a lot of kind of in the clinic first opinion vet work. I still do, just not as frequently now. But I used to do a lot of surgery, and this particular patient was a Springer Spaniel, and unfortunately, they had a habit of eating underwear, okay? Now, it started as just stealing underwear, which apparently is rife in the world, the amount of stories we get about underwear. And the owner tried to take them off them, and it became a bit of a game. And increasingly, the dog learned to swallow them because then the owner couldn't get them, yeah? Now, that resulted in, before they eventually did come for behaviour consultation, and one of the owners came for behaviour consultation. More on that later. So repeatedly, this poor dog had to have surgery to have, you know, socks, pants. I think a bra did get swallowed at one point as well. And nearly always it'd be on a day when I was doing surgery. So I'd be like, oh, great, we're back again. Yep, let's see what surprises we've got in there today. And this one day, I did the surgery, and it was a pair of pants, okay? So some ladies' underwear, and it was kind of quite raunchy ladies' underwear, to be honest. Yeah, it was, and I was offended. No, it takes a lot to offend me. And so you know, as it's fun to do. The two people, the husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, I don't remember, came to collect their dog, and as I would normally do, I would present my findings in a plastic bag, okay? Which was a bit awkward that day, because I'm like, I mean, I don't think that's the sort of thing where, you know, you're sharing that externally, but we'll go with it. And so I popped them on the table. I was talking to the owners about, you know, the post-op care in terms of how we need to look after them. And I just see the female owner just like staring at the underwear. And staring, and the husband, male owner, is, you know, just talking. And then at some point, I saw the male owner staring at the underwear as well, and they're both staring at the underwear. And like, now I'm getting a funny vibe, right? And a few seconds later, the female owner turns to the male owner and raises an eyebrow and says, "They're not mine," in the consult. And I'm like, okay, and here's your information sheet, and off you go. And they were indeed not hers, and she came with the dog for a behaviour consult a couple of weeks, months later, I don't remember, to deal with the struggle. And yeah, male owner was no more. He'd gone. So that was probably one of the most like awkward vet moments for me, for sure. So. Let me have a look at what you've been sending in that Madeline has carefully curated. All right. Hello again. Re-mortifying stories. I don't know what way to start an email. Hello again. Re-mortifying stories. Years ago, I was walking our Doberman in the evening with my then husband. We were having a row. Just for a change and not together anymore. I love it. Right. Peter did a poo. I assume Peter's your dog, otherwise that would explain why you're no longer with him. Peter did a poo. So I stopped to pick it up when husband, phew, husband said something very irritating, and so I swung the poo bag at him. As I swung it, no, not good. Don't be getting tips. And as I swung it, it sort of caught on a piece of Peter's harness and ripped, and fresh poo splattered husband's head. Why are you finding this so entertaining? You're imagining my face superimposed on it. I still don't quite know what happened. Sure you don't. He was furious, incandescent, and it was downhill from there. However, that story still warms my heart on cold winter evenings. There we go. The end of a marriage. Wow. I love it. This is like full on, like, this is like anonymous family sharing that wouldn't be accepted anywhere else. Would it? It's great. Right. So, embarrassing naughty dog story. My dog's currently in training for working as a therapy dog. She's supposed to be good. We were out with her wearing her in-training jacket. Oh, that's already like a recipe for disaster. As soon as you put any training, I'm a dog trainer paraphernalia on, your dog looks at you and says, right, watch this. And on the way to the library to do a Tots music session, and we had to walk down the high street. Oh my word, I've just read ahead. Up ahead of us, there was a homeless gentleman sat snuggled up on the ground. As we walked past, I noticed he was holding something. As I noticed, so did Barkington. So did Barkington. She launched up and stole it. It was a bacon and egg bap that some old dear had just given him to warm him up. Betsy would not give it up. I had to buy him a full English in the cafe up the street. That's shocking. What, sorry? Oh, we did. Yeah, I did get an upgrade, but still. Right. Last one for today. Even though I could just do, maybe we should just do a. But who cares about learning stuff? What if we just did this the podcast just of this? Right. So this one is about Loka, the wolf-alike. Remember, this was before I'd done any dog training. I love it how it comes with a disclaimer. Like, remember, this was before, this wasn't last week. We were at the top of Arthur's Seat, the extinct volcano in Edinburgh, and there was a school trip we were watching from Salisbury Crags. Loka, being a wolf-alike, on the way down the hill, caught a squirrel and did the whole dissect and consume in front of the kids eating their tofu wraps. Oh no! They were a Montessori school trip, no doubt scared for life. One of the teachers threw up onto one of the... Oh! No! One of the teachers threw up onto one of the kiddies' backpacks. Of all the places she could have aimed. That's when I first realized I had to do something. Oh, I love it. So, hold on a second. So there were many things before this, but you realised at the point that your dog dissected a squirrel and a teacher vomited on a kid's backpack that you needed to train your dog, yes. That's when I first realised I had to do something. It's a sick one, it's so sad for the squirrel, so probably not user-friendly. Oops. Sorry if we've offended anyone, but it had already happened and it does have an educational component somewhere. So that section of the podcast is for you to take a moment and think, huh, my dog pulling on lead this morning and lunging at every dog on a walk, could be worse. If you've got a similar story involving squirrel or not, all you need to do is email cringe@helpmy.dog. That's cringe, C-R-I-N-G-E, @helpmy.dog. And we will, if it's really, really good, we might read it out. And also, should say, if you've not already, share the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, because then you get notified when we do an episode. We do an episode every week, but sometimes we might surprise you and do one in between, and then you won't know, because you'd be like, well, it's Monday, I wait till Wednesday. So make sure to subscribe. And if you leave a review, you get entered into a prize draw where every month we are picking one lucky winner to get a completely free behavior consult with the Behave Vet team, so that you can get your transformational plan, implement it, and go forth and live the life that you dreamt of when you got a dog in the first place. And if you don't win, we can be able to do that in no time anyway, as you listen to the episodes. So what are the focuses for Gorse this week? It's an interesting week when we think about preparing for that situation. What we're going to be working on is some tools that we're going to use when we're getting out into the world, okay? So the tools that we're going to use is we're going to be working on her what we call her marker word. Now, her marker word means that we can say to her, hey, we spot that thing too over there, and it's nothing to worry about, yeah? Hey, we spot the teacher vomiting onto a child's backpack over there, nothing to worry about, here's your marker word, and here's a positive outcome. And the more that we pair events in day-to-day life with the marker word, and then deliver some of her daily food allowance, it rewires the brain to actually say, strange thing, positive outcome. Strange thing, positive outcome. Weird situation, positive outcome. So that increasingly, she starts to assume things are good. Increasingly, she starts to be more optimistic. Now, the process looks a little bit like this. We're going to use a word, and it can be any word, but ideally a word that you're going to say calmly. So it might be like good or nice or whatever springs to mind. No swearing. And you're then going to say the word, pause for like a brief, like millisecond, and then you're going to deliver some of that daily food allowance. Pause for a brief millisecond, say the word, pause for a brief millisecond, deliver some of that daily food allowance. And what you want to see is that they start to, when they hear that word, they start to go, where's the food? When they hear that word, they go, where's the opportunity? And then what we can do is when there's a potential threat, we can say the word, good. And they go, oh, where's the opportunity? And you see how that changes their brain. You see how that's going to really impact their reaction to that situation. So that's what we're going to be working on with Gorse this week. We'll pick that up more next week for sure and dive into that a little bit more. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. Make sure to subscribe, make sure to share, make sure to leave us a review. And if you've got a story that you'd love us to share anonymously, don't worry, this is a safe space, then all you got to do is email cringe@helpmy.dog.